ಬೃಹದಾರಣ್ಯ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 3 ಬುಜ್ಜು ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಂ ಮಂತ್ರ 3.3.1 ಅತಹೈನಂ ಬುಜ್ಜುಹೋಂ ಲಾಹ್ಯಾಯನಿ ಪ್ರಪ್ರಚ್ಚ ಯಾಜ್ಞವಲ್ಕ್ಯೇತಿ ಹೋವಾಚ ಮದ್ರೇಷು ಚರಕಾಃ ಪರ್ಯವ್ರಜಾಮ ತೇ ಪತಂಚಲಸ್ಯ ಕಾಪ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಗೃಹಾನೈಮ ತಸ್ಯ ಆಸೀತ್ ದುಹಿತಾಂ ಗಂಧರ್ವಗೃಹೀತಾಂ ತಮ ಪೃಚ್ಛಾಮ ಕೋಸೀತಿ ಸೋಬ್ರವೀತ್ ಸುಧನ್ವಾಂಗಿರಸಗಿತಿ ತಂ ಯದಾಲೋಕಾನಾಂ ಅಂತಾನ ಪೃಚ್ಛಾಮ ಅತೈನಮ ಬ್ರೂಮ ಕ್ವ ಪಾರೀಕ್ಷಿತಾಃ ಅಭವನ್ನಿತಿ ಕ್ವ ಪಾರೀಕ್ಷಿತಾ ಅಭವನ್ ಸತ್ವಾ ಪೃಚ್ಛಾಮಿ ಯಾಜ್ಞವಲ್ಕ್ಯ ಪಪಾರೀಕ್ಷಿತ ಅಭವನ್ನಿತಿ ಸೊ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೊಡಕ್ಷನ್ ಟು ದಿ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಂ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಅನಲೈಸಸ್ ದಿ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಕರ್ಮಫಲಂ ವಿಡಿಟ್ ಕರ್ಮಫಲ ವಿಚಾರ ಭಾಷ್ಯಂ and the analysis of the nature of karma phalam and we saw this bhashyam elaborately in the last webinar in the last zoom meeting or whatever class in which acharya shows that karma phalam cannot give moksha nitya karma also has a phalam of swarga alone by applying vishwajit nyaya and if one does not want swarga nitya karma can be done as karma yoga and then the very same nitya karma will lead to chitta shuddhi only nitya karma can give twofold results as we want either it will lead to swarga or if you don't want swarga it will lead to chitta shuddhi either way we know one thing is definite nitya karma will not give moksha this we saw elaborately in the last class lastly the purva mimamsaka he asks one more question that is no doubt nitya karma cannot give moksha by itself it is inefficient and weak but combining with upasana you can strengthen nitya karma and this strengthened nitya karma this reinforced nitya karma boosted nitya karma with the support of upasana that is nitya karma can produce wonderful results when it is supported by upasana which cannot produce independently not only wonderful results even opposite results it can produce and what are opposite results independent nitya karma may produce anithya phalam but upasana sahita nitya karma upasana samuchita nitya karma can produce the opposite result which is nitya phalam and what is nitya phalam it is moksha thus upasana samuchita karmanam phalam is moksha this is purvapakshi's contention and in support of this contention he gives two examples visha dadhyadivate the examples are such that they produce opposite results an ordinary poison leads to death but the same poison if it is given with some mantra so mantra samuchita visham not only it does not kill a person on the other hand it enlivens or resuscitates the dying man also ujjivanam karoti so kevala vishaya phalam marana so mantra samuchita vishaya phalam ujjivanam so this is the opposite result for the same visham similarly in the case of yogurt dadi according to ayurveda yogurt is not good for health but taken with sugar it gives opposite phalam similarly karma phalam is anityam upasana samuchitam sat tadeva karma nitya phalam moksham pradadatati so ityartha ko doshah ityatra ko doshah is the question so yuktihi vartate anubhavah api vartate so this is the argument of purva mimamsa for which shankaracharya gives the answer up to this we have seen in the last class now shankaracharya says no and he gives four reasons in support of this argument that is where we stopped yesterday and we will start with the four arguments that acharya gives in support of his contention Number one is Pramana Abhavad. There is no Pramanam, that is no Shruti Vakyam, which tells Upasana Samuchita Karma Palam will give Moksha. You have to take Shruti Pramanam alone. In the case of poison and yogurt, there is Anubhava Pramanam available in the case of poison and yogurt. Therefore, I can accept. Further, there is Pratyaksha Pramanam because we see the result also in that cases. But in the case of one getting moksha on doing nitya karma, no pratyaksha pramanam is available. When pratyaksha pramanam is not there, how can there be yukti or logical agreement? Therefore, we take it pramanam nasti. That is the first argument against Purvamimamsaka. And the second argument Acharya gives is palantara smritehe palantara shrutehe cha. This means Veda gives some other phalam for upasana karma samuchaya other than moksha. When Shruti itself gives parichinna or limited phalam for samuchaya, how can you contradict that? How can you contradict Veda and postulate nitya phalam? What is Shruti Vakyam? Shruti Vakyam is what? Putrena ayam loko jayaha, karmana pitrulokaha, vidyaya devalokaha. This Shruti very clearly says, Shruti means Vedam. And in this particular case, vidyaya devalokaha. Vidyaya means upasana samuchita karmana. How do you know? Because by saying karmana pitrulokaha, kevala karma is said. So by just doing karma, pitruloka palam one will get. So vidyaya devalokaha means upasana samuchita karma or karma samuchita upasanena devaloka palam shrutav eva uktam vartate. It is also told in the Shruti. And not only Shruti Pramanam gives parichinna palam, Smriti Pramanam also gives parichinna palam. And which is Smriti? There is a Manusmriti Vakyam which says Brahma Vishwasrujo Dharmaha Mahan Avyaktam Evacham Uttamam Satvikam Yetam Satvikim Yetam Gatim Ahur Manishinaha. That is the sloka. All the positions and statuses in Devaloka are the highest Satvika Gati. And by the word highest, the Smritikara, he means by Karma Upasana Samuchaya also, highest possible phalam is Hiranyagarbha Loka only, Brahma Loka only. And it is clearly stated there is no other palam in Smriti also because it is said Uttamam Gatim. Uttamam is, it is a superlative, highest degree. Therefore, Upasana Sahita Karmanam Palam Mokshaha Na Bhavati. One cannot attain moksha through that. So, Palantara Shrutehe Smritehe Chayam, Shruti and Smriti give some other palam other than moksha only. This is the second argument of Acharya. Mokshasya anarabhyatvat. That is the third argument. Moksha is never produced. No arambha for moksha. Therefore, karma with the help of upasana may give better result. But that better result is also a product. Whereas moksha is not at all a product and it is never produced. Therefore, it cannot be said to be a karma. Karma, upasana, samuchaya, palam, it cannot be said, moksha cannot be said as a palam for that. And this is the third argument. And the fourth argument Acharya gives is, yogya palasya kalpyatvat. We now know, because of the addition of upasana, karma produces improved results. That is true. Shankaracharya argues that the improved results can be only within the ambit of aptihi, attainment, utpattihi, production, vikaraha, modification, and samskaraha, purification. This we saw in the last class also. Karma results can be only one of these four. So the improved result can be improved aptihi perhaps, or improved utpatti, improved samskara, improved vikara. That means improvement can be within the field of karma palam, or parichinna palam field only. There is limit for the palams. Karma palam cannot go out of that field. And for this, Shankaracharya gives a beautiful example, Ulukavate. We have got, for example, the eyes, and they function within the field of forms and colors. And this is the field of the eyes. And now we improve the power of the eyes by adding various scopes, telescopes, microscopes, and all kinds of scopes. Then what happens? We will be seeing things which other people cannot see maybe. With the help of powerful microscope, we can see microbes, virus and all that better. And even when the power of the eyes is improved, remember, the eyes can function within the fields of forms and colors only. It will be able to see more forms, subtle forms, but it can see only forms and colors. You cannot say, because the improved power, the eyes can hear the sounds also, or in the other fields of touch, taste, or anything else. So we don't say the microscope, etc., are useless. They can improve only within forms and colors. So Shankaracharya says, all karma palams can be within the parichinna field only, apti, utpatti, samskara, and vikara. By adding upasana, ordinary karma may take to swargaloka. You may even go up to brahmaloka, and all are within the purview of apti, utpatti, samskara, and vikara. But it cannot go beyond these four fields. So Shankaracharya gives the example of ulukaha. Ulukaha means an owl. Owl, it has got extraordinary eyesight. If our eyes function only in the light, in the daylight, the owl's eyes function without light. But what is the problem? Limitation. And even the better eye can function only within forms and colors. You cannot say owl's eyes can hear sound. And therefore, yogya phalasya kalpetvadayam, you can say upasana samuchitam karma can give better result, which means better limited results only. Because of these four reasons, namely pramana abhavate, phalantra shrutehe smrutehe cha, mokshasya anarabhyatvate, and yogya phalasya kalpetvadcha, upasana samuchita karmanam phalam mokshaha na bhavati. తస్మాత్ కేవలకర్మణాఫలం వా ఉపాసనాసహితకర్మణాఫలం వా పరిచ్ఛిన్నం ఏవ లిమిటెడ్ ఓన్లీ అండ్ ద హైయెస్ట్ పాసిబుల్ ఫలం క్యాన్ ఓన్లీ బి హిరణ్య గర్భ లోక అండ్ దిస్ ఇస్ ద ఫోర్త్ రీజన్ అండ్ వాట్ ఇస్ ద డైమెన్షన్ ఆఫ్ హిరణ్య గర్భ లోక దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఇస్ సెట్ హియర్ ఇన్ దిస్ బ్రాహ్మణ్ దేర్ఫోర్ వన్ క్యాన్ గో అప్ టు హిరణ్య గర్భ లోక బ్రహ్మలోక బట్ నో మోక్ష సో ఫార్ మోక్ష యూ హ్యావ్ టు టేక్ అప్ to the next brahmana we are going to start next, which deals with Jnanakanda. We already mentioned the first three brahmanams of this particular chapter are the karma upasana phalam, whereas fourth to ninth is Jnanakanda. So we will deal with moksha at that time. Here the challenger is Bujju Rishihi, or his other name is Lahyayinihi. So he is called Bujju, so his name is Bujju Brahmana. He tells an incident that took place in his life. Once upon a time, he went with some friends to a kingdom called Madra Kingdom. Madreshu Paryavrajama. So we were moving about there. He is narrating to Yajnavalkya. We were all moving about in that kingdom. We were all Charakaha. Charakaha, Acharya comments, Vratacharinaha. They have taken lot of vratams. There is another meaning also, Advaryavaha. Advaryavaha. That means they were all Advaryus, Yajurveda priests, all of them. And so Vratacharinaha, so Vidyarthinakapi, because they are interested in learning a lot of new things also. They were all going around in that place, trying to gather more information and learning. There they met a person whose name is Patanjalaha or Kapyaha, who had a daughter. Unfortunately, a Gandharva ghost possessed that daughter. So Gandharva Grihita Abhavat. So this daughter was possessed by a Gandharva ghost. And what did these people do? We were curious to talk to that Gandharva. And therefore we asked the Gandharva some question with the aim to learn more, because they are traveling with the aim to learn more. So Gandharva was an extraordinary person. And the Gandharva had Alaukika Jnanam or Apaurusheya Jnanam with an intention to get supra-sensuous knowledge. We asked a question to that Gandharva, namely, Lokanam Antan Aprichama. We asked about dimensions of various lokas, the size of Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Suvarloka, Maharloka, and all of them. We asked Antan means limits, the dimensions of various lokas. And the Gandharva answered, Gandharva ghost answered. At the end, we asked the Gandharva a question. That is what, who tells this? Bujju Rishi tells Yajnavalkya. So we should not forget the context. Quam Parikshitaha Abhavan. Where did the people called Parikshit? They go. So Shankaracharya says, Bujju is causing fear or even confusion in Yajnavalkya because he uses unheard of words. Not only that, in the story also there is a significance. Bujju points out that the knowledge he had gathered is from a Gandharva, not an ordinary knowledge. He wants to show that he knew more than ordinary people because he got it from a Gandharva himself. So Bujju threatens Yajnavalkya as it were and says, I want to ask you a question. He says, I have got the answer from Gandharva. If you do not know, you will not get what? The cows. And since I know the answer, I will take the cows away. So Yajnavalkya is as relaxed as before. He knows the answer to this question also. And the word of Parikshita as well he knows. So that is all given in the next sloka. We will read. This is the story part. Mantra 3.3.2. Saho vacha vacha vaisaha agachan vaite tadyatra ashwamedayajino gachantiti kvanu ashwamedayajinaha gachantiti dvatrimshatam vai devaratahyani ayam lokaha tam samantam prithivim dvistavat paryeti tam samantam prithivim dvistavat samudra paryeti tadyavati kshurasya dharam yavadva makshikaya patram tavanantarena akashaha tan indra suparno bhutvam vayave prayachate tan vayuratmani ditvam tatragamayate yatra ashwamedaya jinaham abhavanniti evamiva vaisaham vayumeva prashasamsam tasmad vayureva vyashtihi vayuhu samashtihi apapunarmrityum jayati yayevam veda tatoha bujjuhu lahya yanihi upararama iti trithiyam brahmanam. This concludes the third brahmanam. So the question is, where do the Parikshita people go? The word Parikshit refers to all the people who do great yagas or uttama punya karmas. These are the people who are called by this name, Parikshit. So paritaha, this is called paritaha dukkham atava papam kshiyate anena iti Parikshit. So that karma by which we destroy papam is that karma. So the big yagas like Ashwamedha yaga and all that thing, they falls under that Parikshit, uttama karma. And Parikshita means the people who perform such great yagas. So Parikshitam anutishtati iti Parikshitaha. And Yajnavalkya gives his answer also in a roundabout way. He doesn't give directly the answer. He says, wherever Ashwamedha kartaraha, people who perform Ashwamedha yaga, Ashwamedha yaji, they will go to such place, the Parikshita people also will go. Because the question of Bujju was what? Where the Parikshita people will go, for which he is giving this as the answer. Wherever Ashwamedha people go, Ashwamedha yajis go, to the same place, they will also go. Now, Bujju asked the question, you are giving me an indirect answer. He asks another question, Ashwamedha yaji will go to which loka? And again, he says, Swamiji gives an example. If you see in the dictionary, meaning for a word, like he gave this word particularly, so voluble, there is a word like this. And then if you see the meaning, it says garrulous. That is the meaning. So you now want to see the meaning of garrulous, then it says loquacious. And then you want to see the meaning of loquacious, it says again voluble. So it goes back and comes back. So first Yajnavalkya gives the size of this world, ayam lokaha. He says, you take the area covered by the movement of chariot of Surya. That is Ahoratra Surya Gati. So if the Surya is going in, don't ask, is Surya rotating and all those questions don't bring. These are, you know, from the Upanishad. So Ahoratra Surya Gati, day and night, how the Surya, he travels, that movement of the chariot. And that unit is called Devaratha Anyam. ದೇವರಥ ಅನ್ಯಂ. ಸೊ ದೇವಃ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸೂರ್ಯ, ದೇವರಥಃ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸೂರ್ಯರಥ, ಅನ್ಯಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಏರಿಯಾ ಕವರ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಅಹೋರಾತ್ರ ಗತಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಸೇಸ್ ಮಲ್ಟಿಪ್ಲೈ ದಟ್ ಯೂನಿಟ್ ಬೈ 32 ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ದ್ವಾತ್ರಿಂಶತ್ ದೇವರಥ ಅನ್ಯಂ. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಏರಿಯಾ ಆಫ್ ಅಯಂ ಲೋಕಃ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್. ದೆನ್ ಹೀ ಸೇಸ್ this world of ours is covered by the next layer called the prithvi tattvam, whose area is double our world. So this is the vistavat paryeti. So it is that is that much bigger it is. So it is twice 32 is 64 units of devaratha anyam is the covering of prithvi tattvam. It is not earth alone, prithvi tattvam, the solid matter principle. And beyond that is another layer called samudra tattvam, the liquid matter principle, which is double the prithvi tattva. That means it is 128 times of devaratha anyam is surrounding the jala tattva. That is the jala. Then Yajnavalkya says all these three, what are these three now? Ayam lokaha, prithvi tattvam and jala tattvam exist within the brahmanda, which is made up of two cups. Upside one, downside one. Like, you know, if you take a egg, cut into half and put two cups up and down. And that is called two anda kapala, two halves of the big egg. And between these two cups of Brahmanda, there is a very minute gap. And that gap is called kapalantara akashaha. All are peculiar names. What is the size of that gap now? He says, kshurasya dhara iva, like the racer's edge, dhara, like the racer's edge, that is the gap. Or another example is makshikaya patram, the wing of a tiny fly. If you take a fly, it has wings, the wing of a tiny fly, whatever is the thickness of that, that much gap only is there between the two cups of the Brahmanda. And within and beyond this anda pervades Hiranyagarbha in the form of Vayu Tattvam. And this Hiranyagarbha Loka is the place where all these Parikshitas go. How they travel? The travel route also is given. It seems after the death, the jiva of this ritualist, this Parikshita, is carried by Agni, Agni Devata. Actually, in the Shloka, it is given as Indra. But it refers to Agni Devata, in the form of a bird, Suparna, that carries the Jiva and hands over that to Vayu Devata. And this Vayu Devata carries the Jiva through the gap of Andakapala, wherein pervades the Hiranyagarbha Loka, and Jivas enjoy Hiranyagarbha Padam or Hiranyagarbha Loka. This is the dimension of Hiranyagarbha Loka and gati of Parikshita people. And Yajnavalkya says that this is the answer the Gandharva should have told you. He tells it to Bhujyo. And then the Brihadaranyaka concludes glorifying Vayu, that is none other than Hiranyagarbha. So Vayureva Vyashtihi, Vayureva Samashtihi. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha alone is in the form of Vyashti, the individual tattvam, as also Samashti, the total tattvam. And whoever meditates on the Hiranyagarbha will get Hiranyagarbha Lokam. And once this answer was given by Yajnavalkya, Bhujju was outwitted by Yajnavalkya. With his head down, he walked back to his seat. There ends that Brahman. And now we will go to the next Brahmanam called Ushastha Brahmanam. This is the fourth Brahmanam. From this Brahmanam onwards, as I mentioned earlier, we are going into Paravidya. Earlier all Aparavidya, now it is Paravidya or Brahma Vidya. Jnana Kanda portions come now. Therefore, the following Brahmanams are important Brahmanams and we get some best mantras here. Now, three scholars have already withdrawn. Now, the fourth scholar, his name is Ushastha, he enters. And he also questions Yajnavalkya. Because of this, this Brahmanam is called Ushastha Brahmanam. Very important Brahmanam. It has got a lot of beautiful mantras. We read Shloka number 1, 3.4.1. Atahainam Ushastham Chakrayanappa Pracham Yajnavalkyeti Ho Vacham Yat Sakshat Aparokshat Brahmam ಯ ಆತ್ಮಾ ಸರ್ವಾಂತರಃ ತಮ್ಮೇ ವ್ಯಾಚಕ್ಷ್ವ ಇತಿ ಏಷತ ಆತ್ಮಾ ಸರ್ವಾಂತರಃ ಕಥಮೋ ಯಾಜ್ಞವಲ್ಕ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಾಂತರಃ ಯ ಪ್ರಾಣೇನ ಪ್ರಾಣಿತಿ ಸತ ಆತ್ಮಾ ಸರ್ವಾಂತರಃ ಯೋಪಾನೇನ ಅಪಾನೀತಿ ಸತ ಆತ್ಮಾ ಸರ್ವಾಂತರಃ ಯೋ ವ್ಯಾನೇನ ವ್ಯಾನೀತಿ ಸತ ಆತ್ಮಾ ಸರ್ವಾಂತರಃ ಯ ಉದಾನೇನ ಉದಾನಿತಿ ಸತ ಆತ್ಮಾ ಸರ್ವಾಂತರಃ ಏಷತ ಆತ್ಮಾ ಸರ್ವಾಂತರಃ ಅತ ಏನ ಉಷಸ್ಥಂ ಚಾಕ್ರಾಯಣಃ ಪಪ್ರಚ್ಛ ಅತಃ ಅತಃ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಸ್ಕಾಲರ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ವಿಡ್ರಾನ್ ನೌ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಉಷಸ್ಥಃ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಹಿ ಹಸ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಅನದರ್ ನೇಮ್ ಚಾಕ್ರಾಯಣಃ ಎವ್ರಿ ರಿಷಿ ಹಸ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಟೂ ನೇಮ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಐ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ಡ್ ಅರ್ಲಿಯರ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ದ ಫೋರ್ತ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್ ಏನಂ ಏನ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಏನಂ ಯಾಜ್ಞವಲ್ಕ್ಯಂ ಪಪ್ರಚ್ಛ ವಾಟ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಹಿ ಅಡ್ರೆಸ್ ಯಾಜ್ಞವಲ್ಕ್ಯ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೇಸ್ Be prepared to face my question. Ushastha himself first defines Brahman. We get one of the best definitions of Brahman here. In fact, maybe it is the best definition, not one of the best. Best definition of Brahman, which Acharya quotes often. That's what Swami says. So, yathu sakshat aparokshat Brahma. That is the definition. Yathu sakshat aparokshat Brahma. Which means Brahman is that which is aparokshat. Aparokshad means, actually it's an oblative case. This should be converted to nominative case. Should be taken as aparoksham. This is Vedic license. So Brahma is brahat tamadvat Brahma. That which is biggest, that is limitless, infinite, that is Brahman. What is its definition? Yat aparoksham. That which is self-evident, immediately available. That which is available without the requirement of any pramanam. That is aparoksham, which is known without the requirement of any instrument. For example, when we want to know any object in the world, we always use one instrument or the other. If it is a remote object, we use the instrument of inference. Through the medium of inference, we know remote objects. Or through medium of words, for example, Rig Veda and all, the words and various pramanas are there. ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ ಅನುಮಾನ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ ಉಪಮಾನ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ ಅರ್ಥಾಪತ್ತಿ ಅನುಪಲಬ್ಧಿ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಶಬ್ದ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ವೇರಿಯಸ್ ಪ್ರಮಾಣಸ್ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್ ನೌ ಶಬ್ದ ಪ್ರಮಾಣೇನ ವಾ ಅನುಮಾನ ಪ್ರಮಾಣೇನ ವಾ ಅರ್ಥಾಪತ್ತಿ ಪ್ರಮಾಣೇನ ವಾ ಏನ ಕೇನಾಪಿ ಪ್ರಮಾಣೇನ ಜ್ಞಾಯತೆ ದಟ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ರಿಮೋಟ್ ವಿ ಯೂಸ್ ಸಮ್ ಮೀಡಿಯಂ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಟು ನೋ ವೆನ್ ಅನ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಕ್ಲೋಸ್ ಬೈ ದಿಸ್ ಅ ರಿಮೋಟ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ So when an object is close by, then we come to know of it by another medium called our sense organs. Thus, all objects are known through one medium or the other. It may be through pratyaksha pramanam, anumana pramanam, arthapati, whatever it is. So when you say aparoksham, which is known without any medium, you don't use inference, shabda pramana or any medium, and that is which is not known through any medium, that non-mediate and that called that particular thing is called aparoksham. There is only one thing which is known without the help of any medium, and that is what? Aham or I, the self-evident subject alone, does not require any medium. Thus, aparoksham means self-evident I, immediately known I, immediately without media, immediately known I. Is the definition of Brahman. Yat aparoksham tat Brahma. Why Ushastha says sakshat aparoksham? He would have just told yat aparoksham. Yat sakshat aparoksham, why he said that? The significance of the word sakshat, generally, an object which is beyond sense organs, which cannot be known perceptually, is called paroksha vastu. Aksham, aksham refers to sense organs. Param means beyond. So paroksham means akshanaha, akshanaha param, and that which is within the scope of sense organs, which can be directly perceived or called pratyaksham. For example, Mount Kailas is now paroksham. This computer which I have in front of me is pratyaksham. So Mount Kailas is paroksham. So, and what about I? I am neither pratyaksham nor paroksham. I am aparoksham. This is the normal convention. Paroksha, pratyaksha, aparoksha. Remote objects are paroksha. Close by objects are pratyaksha and subject is aparoksha. I am defining all the three terms. Normally, aparoksha means the subject. But sometimes in Shastram, particularly in Tarka Shastra, a pratyaksha vastu is also called aparoksha. Why? Because pratyaksha vastu is not paroksha. It is that roundabout way of interpreting. Pratyaksha vastu is not paroksha. It is pratyaksha. So it is not beyond the sense organs. And so pratyaksha vastu is also called aparoksha. It is not paroksha, so it is aparoksha. So if you apply this word, then we have got two aparokshas. They are pratyaksha vastu and atma, I. That is called aparoksha. Therefore, when we say aparoksham, there can be a confusion. Therefore, Ushastha says, sakshat aparoksham. An aparoksha vastu, which is different from pratyaksha, does not involve any sense organs. Therefore, sakshat. Avyavahita aparoksham. And that is that which is immediately known. So we find Ushastha himself gives the definition. And he continues also here and he says, yat sakshat aparoksham brahman. Brahman is that which is immediately known, and yajnavalkya atma, that Brahman is the atma, the essence, the content, the essence of sarva antaraha. Sarva antaraha, antaraha means of everything in the universe. So sarvasya antaraha, this means that which is the inner content of all, the inner essence of all. That is, Ushastha himself has indicated the Mahavakyam here by using the word Brahma and Atma. So by using the word aparoksha, he has implied the Mahavakyam. Thus what happens? These two sentences together is well-known Mahavakyam indicating the Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam. Thus Ushastha says there is something called Brahman, which is immediately known and which is inner sense of all universe. And then he asks, tam me vyachakshva ti. Hey, Yajnavalkya, tell me more about that Brahman. He has already told about all this, and now he is asking him, tell more about that Brahman. For which Yajnavalkya gives his answer. He says, yeshaha te sarvantaraha atma. All these are all in dialogue form. We should remember, closely follow who says what. This inner essence of the whole universe is your essence also. He is pointing to this other rishi and tells him, this is your inner essence also. So sarvantaraha atma is the inner essence of you also. It is yesha ta. It is there because of sandhi rule. If it is split, it is te. You are so tava. So the karya karana sangata, this thula sukshma sharirasya atma. That is, to know the essence of the universe, where do I search? Yajnavalkya says, to find out the inner essence of universe, do not go anywhere. You need not go anywhere. You find the inner essence of yourself. That is the inner essence of the universe as well. For example, for the wave, to find out it, the inner essence of ocean, where the wave should search? Wave should find its own inner essence. Yourself alone is the universal self. So actually there is a beautiful guru in the Guru Stotra, and there is this line comes, man nataha sri jagannataha, mad guruhu sri jagat guruhu, mad atma sarva bhutatma, yeshaha sarvantaraha atma te atma eva. It is your own self. Yajnavalkya gives this answer. Now Ushastha asks, Katamaha Yajnavalkya Sarvantaraha. What is the inner self of me? He is asking about his. First he asked, what is the inner self of everything? Now Yajnavalkya says, it is the inner self of you. And now he asks, what is the inner self of me? Is it my Pranamaya Kosha? It is my Manomaya? It is my Vijnanamaya? Is it my Anandamaya? Or is it something other than all of them? So Ushastha's question is all these. And Yajnavalkya replies, Yaha pranena pranitihim, yaha apanena apanitihim, yaha vyanena vyanitihim, yaha udanena udanitihim, yeshatam atma sarvantaraha. So apanena apaniti. Actually, this it should be apanena, apaniti, it should be, but this is a Vedic license, chandasam. So what is the essence of this definition now? Yajnavalkya says, that which is seemingly breathless, excretes, dies, or leaves the body, that seemingly function in the world as jivatma, that is atma or function. Seemingly should be within quotes. Seemingly is used because really speaking, atma does not function at all. Brahman is that which seemingly functions in the world. That is called atma. Here the idea conveyed is a technical idea. Atma does not have any function. It is akarta, nirvikaraha. But this atma, in presence of prana, apana, etc., or in the proximity of sthula sukshma shariram, non-functional atma in the proximity of sthula sukshma shariram. Why? In fact, atma is in the proximity of not only shariram and in the proximity of everything else also, because atma is all pervading, right? Now, the sukshma shariram has also got functions, and what happens now? The non-functional atma and the functioning body-mind complex are very intimately connected. And it is close like the light and the hand. For example, my hand is here and the light is on the hand, is falling on the hand. Both are different, but are very intimate. Of which light is non-functional, the light cannot move, but my hand moves. So likewise, we wrongly attribute functions of the body and mind to the non-functioning Atma. The movement of the hand wrongly appears on the light also. When the hand moves, it looks as though light also is moving. In the same way, Atma does not have prana kriya, pranana kriya, apanana kriya, jnanana kriya, it doesn't have. But because of the body, Atma seemingly functions. And this idea is through two technical words given here. Atma is upahitam and sthula sukshma sharira is the upadhi. Atma is upahidam and the shariram is upadhi. Because of the upadhi, upadhi is medium. We already know all these words. So because of upadhi, body-mind complex, Atma also seems to function. And that is conveyed here. So here we should add the word iva. That is yaha apanena apaniti iva. Yaha vyanena vyaniti iva. That seemingly functioning, iva refers to the seemingly functioning, the really non-functioning consciousness, chaitanyam is Brahman, but it seemingly it appears. So from this Acharya extends some more, and that will make the teaching even more clear. So we will see that aspect also. Acharya says, Shankaracharya, that which is different from body-mind complex, which pervades body-mind complex, and that because of which body-mind complex is alive and sentient, or conscious, that is called Atma. So Shankaracharya comes to the meaning of remembering, actually in the Keno Upanishad, there is the definition. Shrotrasya shrotram, manaso manaha, yad vachoha vacham, savu pranasya pranaha. We already saw in Keno Upanishad. So it looks like a complicated definition, and if you really remember the example, it is easy. Suppose, for example, somebody asks the definition of light showing the hand. So I can define the light as that which is different from hand, which pervades the hand, and because of which the hand is known, that is the light. Similarly, what is Atma? Atma is that principle which is different from body, pervades the body, and because of which body is alive, conscience, and known as functioning. That is said here, Yeshate Atma Sarvantaraha. And when Yajnavalkya defines like this, Ushastha becomes very angry. Why are you giving all these complicated definitions? Why cannot you directly define the Atma? So Ushastha raises another question in the next mantra for a clearer definition of Atma. Mantra 3.4.2. Saho vacha Ushastha chakrayanaha yatavi bruyatam asau gauhu asau ashvayiti evameva etate vyapadishtam bhavati Yadeva sakshat aparokshat brahma ya atma sarvantaraha tamme vyachakshveti yeshata atma sarvantaraha katamo yajnavalkya sarvantaraha na drashter drashtaram pashyehe na shrutehe shrotaram shruniyat ನಮತೇರ್ ಮಂಥಾರಂ ಮನ್ವೀತಾ ನ ವಿಜ್ಞಾತೇರ್ ವಿಜ್ಞಾತಾರಂ ವಿಜಾನೀಯಾ ಏಷತ ಆತ್ಮ ಸರ್ವಾಂತರ ಅಥೋನ್ ಯಥಾರ್ಥಂ ತಥೋಹ ಉಷಸ್ಥ ಚಾಕ್ರಾಯಣ ಉಪರರಾಮ. Ushastha is not satisfied with the definition of Yajnavalkya, that Atma is that which is different from body-mind, pervades the body-mind, and because of which body-mind is alive. Therefore, Ushastha asks the question, Yata vibruyat asau gauhu asau ashvaschayiti. Suppose a person asks, what is the definition of a cow or a horse? Gauhu ashva. Then the other person directly defines them and even shows this is the cow, this is the horse. He can give a clear definition, that is a perceptual definition. This is cow, this has horns, this is color, all that thing he can show. He can show the cow and the horse. That is vibruya. That is, say clearly and directly. Do not beat around the bush. It will be direct definition, not confusing or incomprehensible definition. That's what I want. So Ushastha asks for definite reply, clearly indicating what is Atma to Yajnavalkya. Yata asau gauhu yasa ashvaschayiti vibruyat tata vibruyat bhavan. In that way, you should define. And only when you definitely define, directly define like that, yetat yapadishtam bhavati. So then alone you are a good teacher. Then alone you have clearly taught. So he implies all that, unambiguously conveyed what is Brahman. So Ushastha asks again the same question, Yadeva Sakshat Aparokshat Brahma. Ya Atma Sarvantaraha Tam Me Vyachakshva. What is that Brahman which is immediate and which is the inner essence of all? That Brahman you teach me. So Yajnavalkya once again says, Yeshata Atma Sarvantaraha. The answer is that your inner self is the universal self. Individual self is the universal self. Tava atma eva jagataha atma. Tava. So, stula sukshma sharirasya atma eva prapanchasya atma bhavati. Then Ushastha once again asks the question. Khatamaha yajnavalkya sarvantaraha. Tell me what is my inner self. Don't repeat the same reply. Now Yajnavalkya comes with another definition, a famous mantra, which Acharya repeatedly quotes. For such mantra alone, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is very famous. Such mantras are not available in any other Upanishad. So it's very, very famous. Anyway, the essence of this portion is that Atma cannot be clearly defined at all. And whenever you give any definition, our mind will be what? Our tendency will be to objectify or to go along the definition and try to see it perceptually. If it is not perceptible, perceptually available, we will hope to objectify it through meditation. We always say that I have got intellectual knowledge, I have got book knowledge, I have got theoretical knowledge of Atma, but I have not yet experienced. So the very fact that you hope to experience, that shows that you are hoping for some object to arrive, which you can experience. If you understand Brahman as the self-evident I, where is the scope for experience? Because an experience deals with one object or the other. Therefore, the problem with definition is we try to objectify and we tend to look for a new experience. It is only to rule out this particular thing, the Upanishad uses all indirect methods, and the aim of using indirect methods, as Acharya says, is to avoid the objectifying tendency to go away. So what does Yajnavalkya say? He says that drishtehe drashtaram na pashye. Atma cannot be seen. Then nashrunuyat, Atma cannot be heard. People talk of some mysterious sounds, some bell ringing, some special smell coming. What a beautiful odor comes. I felt, I experienced Atma. We don't reject all that, since in addition to sthula prapancha, there are sukshma prapancha, sukshma vastus. So what we say is, even if experience comes, they deal with what? Anatma only. You cannot hear any external or internal sound. Ahata dvanihi, anahata shabda, all are anatma only. ఇట్ ఈస్ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ ఇన్ యోగ శాస్త్ర, నాట్ ఇన్ వేదాంత. సిమిలర్లీ నా మన్వీతాహ, యూ కెన్ నెవర్ ఆబ్జెక్టిఫై విత్ ద మైండ్. అండ్ నా విజానీయా, యూ కెన్ నెవర్ ఆబ్జెక్టిఫై విత్ ద ఇంటలెక్ట్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ అవైలబుల్ ఫార్ ఇమోషన్ నార్ నాలెడ్జ్. ఆత్మా ఈస్ నాట్ ఇమోషన్, ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ నాట్ పవర్, బికాస్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ సబ్జెక్ట్ టు ఫ్లక్చువేషన్స్. ఎనీ ఇమోషన్ ఈస్ సబ్జెక్ట్ టు ఫ్లక్చువేషన్. ఆల్ పవర్స్ ఆర్ సవికారం. సో దే ఆల్ బిలాంగ్ టు మాయా అండ్ నాట్ ఆత్మ. ఆత్మా ఈస్ నాట్ ఈవెన్ ఎ పవర్ యూ క్యాన్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్. వీ డు అక్సెప్ట్ ది ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ మిస్టీరియస్ పవర్స్. యోగి మే హ్యావ్ ద పవర్ అండ్ మే ఈవెన్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్ హిస్ పవర్ టు హిస్ డిసైపుల్. జస్ట్ ఎలక్ట్రిసిటీ ఈస్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్. But what we say is, even the power falls under anatma only, and it has nothing to do with atma. It is not a concept you conceive of. It is none of them. So how to experience it? You cannot. How do you know it is there? Then, because it is you, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, and I, the atma, cannot be objectified. I am the very subject. This is the essence. But the words drishtihi and drashta have technical meaning which has to be analyzed. Actually, I alluded to this only yesterday when somebody asked this question. Yajnavalkya gives a nice definition of Sakshi Chaitanyam for which this Brahmanam is famous. Drashtehe drashta, shrutehe shrota, matehe manta is the Sakshi. Literally, this, what is that? It will mean that it is the seer of the sight, hearer of the hearing, the thinker of the thought. From this, we cannot make head on head or tail with all this. So we have to give the final meaning, at least to avoid the suspense, and we'll go with analysis. Here, drishtihi, shrutihi, etc., they all refer to buddhi vrittis. Vrittis are thoughts, you already know. That means drishti is equal to darshana vritti. Shruti is equal to shravana vritti. Mati is equal to mano vritti. Vijanati, vijaniti refers to buddhi vritti. All refer to vrittis. And the words drashta, shrota, all those things, they refer to, yes, the sakshi. Therefore, drashtehe drashta is equal to darshana vrittehe sakshi. Shrutehe shrota refers to shravana vrittehe sakshi. And if we combine all the definitions, we get one general definition, that is sarva vritti sakshi is atma. Atma is the witness of all the mental functions. The mind is the witness of all the external events or functions, whereas sakshi is the witness of all internal events or mental functions. In short, it may be stated that the world is seen by the mind and the Sakshi Chaitanyam sees the mind. World is experienced by the mind and the mind is experienced by the Sakshi Chaitanyam. The Sakshi is called Atma. This alone is the essence of this discussion. We will look in detail. But certain technical words are used and we will see the idea technically. In Vedanta, we use the word drishti in two meanings. Drishti means sight. One is changing drishti, that is called the savikara drishti, and the another one is nirvikara drishti or changeless sight. And changing sight or savikara drishti is nothing but darshana vritti, a thought in the mind. It is in the form of mental, it's a mental mode. And the changeless sight, the nirvikara drishti, equal to the chaitanyam or atma. So changing sight is manovritti, changeless sight is atma, or Sakshi Chaitanyam. These are definitions. Similarly, the word drashta also has two meanings. This is drashta, the seer. The word seer is also in two meanings. The changing seer, that is the savikara drashta, and the changeless seer, nirvikara drashta. So who is the changing seer? The mind. Manaha is the changing seer or savikara drashta. Then who is the nirvikara drashta? Sakshi Chaitanyam, the changeless seer. Now, mind manaha savikara drashtam, manovrittihi is savikara drishtihi. Manasi savikara drashtam, manovritti savikara drishti. Sakshi is nirvikara drashtam, and sakshinaha chaitanyam is nirvikara drishti. Now, if the mind is a changing seer, with a changing sight, what is the object of the changing seer? Manas. The object of the changing seer, namely the manas, is the external world. So mind with a ghata vritti, for example, part vritti, sees ghata vastu, sees the part. When we see the part, the changing seer is mind. The changing sight is ghata vritti and the object is part. Similarly, if the mind is the changing seer, vriksha vritti, when you see a tree, vriksha vritti is changing sight and vriksha is the object. So mind drashta is common. Whether you see a vriksham, whether you see a part, whether you see anything, mind drashta is common. And as the vrittis change, the different objects are seen. For savikara drashta, with savikara drashti, external world is the object. Similarly, there is the nirvikara drashta, that is a sakshi, for which the nirvikara chaitanyam is the sight. Now the question is, for this nirvikara drashta, the changeless seer, what is the object? Is the external world the object for that? No. The external world is the object of mind and vritti. Here we have to be very careful. The external world is the object of mind and vritti. We say for nirvikara sakshi, with nirvikara drishti, the object is the mind and the vritti. For the mind, the external object, that is what it sees, object. Whereas for the nirvikara sakshi, the nirvikara drishti, the object is the mind and the vrittis. Which means savikara drashta and savikara drishti is the object of nirvikara drashta. I hope you are with me. For the savikara drashta, the mind, savikara vrittis, that is the object of nirvikara drashta. So mind sees the external world and sakshi sees the mind. So sakshi objectifies the mind and mind objectifies the world. Suppose someone asks whether mind is subject or object. Somebody asks the question. Then we should say that depends. With respect to external world, mind is the subject. But with respect to sakshi chaitanyam, mind is the object. So bahya prapancha drishtya, manaha drashta. Antara sakshi drishtya, manaha drishyam. Thus the mind is in the middle, serving both as subject and also as the object. Whereas the external world is ever object alone, that is nitya drishyam. External world is ever the object alone. The sakshi is ever the subject. The world is ever the object. Whereas the mind is in the middle. It plays both the roles of being an object with respect to sakshi and the role of being the subject with respect to external world. This should be understood very clearly. Now we said sakshi objectifies the mind, which means sakshi is the seer with respect to mind, and mind is the seer with respect to world. I am repeating this in so many ways, so many forms. Here there is a small difference. What is the difference? When the mind functions as seer, it undergoes change. Vritti parinama rupa vikaraha bhavati. When the mind functions as a seer, it has got a sight in the form of vritti, and vritti changes. I first see a part, then I see a tree, all that. So when it is a part seer, one type of thought is there. When it is a tree seer, another type of vritti is there, tree vritti is there. So as the seen, the object changes, whatever is seen is changes, the seer also changes. Parinamate. That is why we said savikara drashta with savikara drishti. But the second part is more important. The sakshi functions as drashta without undergoing any change. Sakshi illumines, it sees or objectifies the mind without undergoing any change itself. That means in the presence of the sakshi, the mind is illumined, not with the effort of sakshi. Very important. We have to understand, underline effort. Without any effort, sakshi illumines the mind. By mere presence of sakshi, no will is involved. When sakshi illumines mind, But for the mind to illumine the world, effort is required. There is no will involved when Sakshi illumines the mind, whereas when the mind illumines the world, there is will involved. This is the difference. There is no more, there is actually one more difference also. Swami says, mind illumines the world through a process, the vritti process. Since the process is involved, it has got beginning and end. For any process, there is a beginning and end. The mind cannot function as a seer all the time. When vritti is there, we see the world. When there is ghata vritti, we see the pot. For mind, drashta, dritti is a process. It is a function. It is an action which is time bound. Any action is time bound. Since it is a function, that function can stop also. Therefore, it is anitya drishti. Savikara drashta has got savikara drishti, which is anitya. Acharya writes elaborately on this. This is drishti, drashta is a very well discussed topic by Acharya. So when does this function stop? At the time of sleep, the savikara drashta mind stops the function of savikara drishti. And when that process stops, the world becomes dark. The world is no more seen. There is blackout. This only gives us rest. Imagine if the mind is active 24 hours, we will all be mad people. Thank God, the process comes to an end and we go to sleep. Whereas the Nirvikara Drashta, Sakshi, has got a Nirvikara Drishti, which is not a process, which is not a function. The seeing function of Sakshi is not a work. If it is work, Sakshi also will take rest. Mind can have blackouts. Why? Because it is a function of mind. But Sakshi's sight is not a function or a process. So no blackout with respect to Sakshi. Therefore, Sakshi's drishti is nitya. Savikara drashta has savikara drishti, which is anitya. So nirvikara drashta has nirvikara drishti, chaitanyam, which is nitya. That is why Sakshi illumines the mind all the time. So blackout comes not because Sakshi's cessation, but mind stopping the function of illumining the external world. That is called blackout. Thus the mind goes through three states. One is fully functioning mind, fully active state, which is called waking state. Semi-active state called the dream state. And fully passive state wherein mind neither sees external world nor internal world. When the mind sees the external world or internal world, it is functioning mind. When the mind sees no world, it is blackout. Sakshi Chaitanyam illumines all the three conditions of the mind. Blackout also is illumined because you talk about the blackout. If not, you will not be able to talk about it. Who was there to witness that? The witness Sakshi Chaitanya. Lastly, one more point also is there. Before going to the text, we said mind and thought is the subject with respect to external world. This is another important point. Mind and thought is the subject with respect to external world. But at the same time, mind and thought is object with respect to Sakshi Chaitanya. Now the question that can arise is, how can the mind and thoughts objectify the external world? Why this doubt? The doubt comes because, if at all it comes, actually it already came to somebody yesterday. It is because both mind and vritti are what? They are jadam, achetanam, made up of subtle matter. So the questions come, I can understand Sakshi is the subject of mind because Sakshi is chetana vastu. Now doubt is, how could mind become subject of external world because mind is jadam? For that we have given this answer already, but we say now, I'm going to take a few more minutes because this concept I cannot leave it unfinished. When the mind becomes the object of Sakshi, simultaneously it becomes live chetanam. The moment it becomes the object of Sakshi, the moment it is illumined by Sakshi, simultaneously the mind gets the status of Chetanam. Then it enjoys the borrowed light in the presence of Sakshi. Once it enjoys the borrowed consciousness, reflected consciousness, thereafterwards, mind can illumine the external world. There are so many examples for this. We have ourselves given this. When you keep a mirror under the sun, the mirror is the object of illumination. Sun illumines the mirror. And what type of mirror it is? It is a mirror which has no light of its own. The sun illumines this mirror, and the mirror gets illumined. Simultaneously, the mirror becomes the secondary source of light because of the sun, which is primary source of light. In the presence of primary source of light, a non-source of light, namely a mirror, becomes a secondary source of light. How do you know? With that mirror, you can illumine a dark room. Here, the primary source of light is Sakshi, and the mirror is the mind, and the Sakshi illumines the mind. Then, not only the mind is illumined, simultaneously, the mind becomes a second source of light called Ahankara, Jiva, Pramata, Karta, all of them. This Ahankara, the mind, which is the changing seer with the changing sight, is capable of illumining the external world. So coming to this mantra, actually we are going to use four words. Drashta number one is what? Savikara Drashta. Drashta number two, Nirvikara Drashta. Similarly, Drishti number one, Savikara Drishti. Drishti number two is Nirvikara Drishti. So in this mantra, Drashtehe Drashtaram. Drishti means Savikara Drishti. The Vritti Drishtehe or Anitya Drishtehe, which is nothing but Manovritti of the mind. Drashtaram. Drashtaram is Drashta number two. Nirvikara Drashta, which is Sakshi. So Drashtehe Drashtaram Napashye. You cannot see the Sakshi of Ghata Vritti, Rupa Vritti. You cannot hear the Sakshi of Shabda Vritti. You cannot smell the Sakshi of Gandha Vritti. You cannot taste the Sakshi of Rasana Vritti. Then how do you know Sakshi is there? You are that awareness which is available in Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. When you wake up, mind wakes up. You see the world. And when you are asleep, mind is asleep. Waking mind comes, waking mind goes. I am aware of all these avastatrayam, I the Chaitanyam consciousness. In short, the essence of the mantra is Sarva Mano Vritti Sakshi Atma. Similarly, Matehe. Matehe means Mano Vrittihi, Vijnate, Vijnana Vrittihi. And the next line is Yeshata Atma Sarvantaraha. This Sakshi Chaitanyam alone is the inner self of you. Who is Ushastha is being addressed by Yajnavalkya. Inner self of you as well. Inner self of the whole world. Now Yajnavalkya concludes this discussion. Ataha Anyate Artham. This is also another very important statement which is quoted several times. So Atonyadartham. Atonyadartham. This is for Advaitins. This statement is very important. The meaning of the statement is Ataha. Ataha means other than this Sakshi, Anyate, everything else, mind, Manovritti, world, etc., both Ahankara and Idam, this world, both Pramata and Prameyam. So everything other than this Sakshi is Artham, Mithya. Artham here is Mithya, as per Shankaracharya, is Mithya. So the literal meaning of Artham is Vinashi, perishable, is the ordinary sense. Also, Arti Yukta means is full of pain, is Dukkha Karanam. It is Vinashi, perishable, painful of everything. Maya is that. Why? Because it is subject to change. Other than Sakshi, if you depend on anything in the world, you are a samsari. Don't hold